Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Are
I'm
you
sure.
happy?
Yes.
Oh man, it's today. I've got my suit anointing on.
Whoa.
Today is a special day.
Amen.
And so excited. We have just at the end of this conference, which will be at lunchtime, we're having the call to come, and. That's going to be a wonderful time. You know, I think even after the first session, we were already in the responses of people sharing. You were catching this word immediately. It was like this word was impacting and being imparted immediately, to the point where, what can we do? What can we do? We want to run with this. We want to do something with this. And so we have the opportunity, even today, we begin today, we draw a line under, if you like, the past today, and we go forward today. And the first thing that we will do, which will be at the end of this conference, and a transition into whatever lies ahead, is that we will be taking time to actually call Jesus Christ to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, we've talked before that it's the prayer that Jesus longs to hear more than any other prayer. When we call come, and I'll be teaching this, but I'm just to prepare our hearts and our expectation. When we cry come, we are aligning ourselves, because only the bride can pray come, you see. But the bride, in her love and her affection and her longing for Jesus, can do no other thing but call for him to come. So when you cry come, you are taking on your bridal personality, your bridal identity. So you are aligning yourself with heaven's intention and heaven's heart and Jesus' heart. You are coming into a place where you can receive something that you've never received before. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, like the chief servant from Abraham, who presented more gifts to Laban when he recognized and accepted that Rebecca was the bride. So we are coming into alignment with the most holiest and the greatest mystery of all. And we are so blessed and privileged, even here in Kenya. I mean, not even here in Kenya, especially in Kenya. Especially for Kenya. That actually, that Howard and I, you know, as you've seen our relationship that we have together, and you know, we've had times where we've been ministering together, but also times when we've been ministering separately, but still with the same message. But more recently, in the last 6 months, God has brought us back together, because we have understood something, and even one of the sisters, you probably hear somewhere, mentioned yesterday how, and we were so blessed to hear that, how when they saw Howard and myself, it was like it was one man, one person, because we were complementing one another, and that's always been our prayer, and it's because even in our relationship, we want to demonstrate something of the bride, of the one new man, that actually there's a unity and a synergy about being together and working and preferring one another and just demonstrating this unity. So that was a real blessing. But in the last 6 months, we've come together with this movement of call to come. And Kenya, so these revelations that you're hearing, these are things that came out of, I could describe, we all have those places, I'm sure, and where we go to pray. I could describe, I have my room, and it's my room, and I go into this place, and I turn all the lights off, and I just sit there in the presence of God, and I listen, and I seek God, and I'm being still, and I'm there for lengths of time seeking God and just being still and engaging with Him, then moving from the cerebral into the place of conception, into the place of imagination, allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate visions in my mind, and then confirming that through His Word, and I'm engaging in a spiritual conversation with God, and He's speaking to me and revealing things to me, and in this place there's a transfer of what He knows into something that's deposited so that I can receive something from Him. Hallelujah. And so, these things that we are sharing, that's why my notes are not even on the website yet. If I've been so busy in preparing and laying a foundation for this this movement, that actually, you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm working. And to last thing at night. And I thank God. But even these notes, people have been asking for these notes, and they're, I mean, I've got 87 pages of notes. And that's just, yeah. But the point that I'm saying is this, is that this is the first time here in Kenya, here, this conference, that this vision, this new understanding, this revelation, this call to come, and the implications of the bride and the redemption of the land and all of the things that we've been talking and sharing with us, and how the bride is central to all of that. These things are, you are hearing this teaching and this message before anybody else anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. That has to mean something. It does mean something. I know that it was right for us to be here. And I thank God for Phoebe and for the team. And I see such character. I see such depth. I'm humbled. And I feel like I feel like I'm just a dwarf amongst mighty men and women of God. But you have opened your hearts to us. And I feel, as I've shared, that Kenya has always been my second home. It was Kenya that was the first place after my missions work in the UK. And the Lord was then taking me to the nations, wherever they may be in the world. It was Kenya that God first brought me. It was Kenya that first entered into my heart. I fell in love with Kenya. Howard will tell you that. I fell in love with Kenya. I've been coming back as much as I can ever since. And I've walked and ministered as Howard has, through village to village. Well, and you know, village to village. And there was, I think the last time I was in Western Kenya. And I'm in this village, and a beautiful, humble, mud, you know, church, and just beautiful. And can you imagine trying to teach and to preach some of these things into a village when you're having to do it through an interpreter whose English is not that great? And I became aware that as I was sharing and teaching, that actually the interpreter, he was preaching a completely different message. And there was a development in my understanding. And how it too, we arrived at this independently, but we gave book in. We became very, very aware of time, shortness of we are willing and very happy to visit from village to village, but in reality that would take me more years than I have. So it was then for wisdom and understanding that even though your heart is to, because you know, we just love being with you. We just love, you know, with, as Howard was sharing, we're not like celebrity, you know, we come in and it's like, no, we're just humble and just to be with you, to be, stand with you as brother, as family together. But we became aware that actually to be strategic in the way that we do things and very purposeful and asking God to connect us with the gatekeepers of the land. With those who may or may not be known by men, but are known by God. Because they are the ones that God is calling and God has been speaking to, and that's why this word has gone into your heart. So you may feel like it's been difficult, but actually it's gone very easily. And even talking and hearing, you know, it's already, you know, this, you've received this impartation, and for that I thank God. That's because you're already in a place of walking with God. That's because you're already in a place where the ground, the soil of your heart is fertile, is receptive to the Word of God. And so it's about being very strategic and connecting with the gatekeepers and those that God has put in that place. And that's you. That's you. You are a gatekeeper. You are a gatekeeper. Some of you are gatekeepers to the nation of Kenya. Some of you are gatekeepers in your village. Some of you are gatekeepers in the city of where you are, whether that's Nakuru or wherever. Different towns and cities that are represented here. And some of you are not even from Kenya. And I pray that this impartation that you will take with you back to your nation or back to your wherever home is for you. And please connect with us. Connect with us. It's so important that we're connecting. And I believe you're connecting with each other as well. About forming new alliances, new connections. Realigning ourselves and connecting in a way that the Lord is connecting us in a way that we can flow freely, to move without restriction. It's important that we can move without restriction. So we've been so blessed, and I am, like I said, a Mzungu, but inside my heart is for Africa and for Kenya, especially. So I, in this just this first part of this morning, I want to share some strategy, some thoughts about a way forward, and some of the things that God's just been speaking to me about. And so I want to share those thoughts, some things that I've become aware of since I've been here. So I'll share those, and then I have a prophetic word that came coming from that place of seeking God and asking the Lord for a word for this time, this season here for Kenya. And so I'll be bringing that also. Also, we have a commissioning, which we're really excited about, and we'll all be part of that. And then we'll then move into our final session, which will be the call to come. I have teaching about the call to come. I wish I could print out or photocopy this message so that you can take it away with you, but please, all of this will be available. In fact, the team here have been recording all of the messages so you can receive the audio. And as Howard said, don't be too occupied about taking notes. But if I could give this to you, I would, but it will be available on the internet within the next week or so. So if you don't get it any other way, then you can just download it. Of course, all of our teaching and so on. So, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, in terms of strategy, there's a couple of scriptures I'd just like to quickly look at. And the first one is in Ezra, in chapter 3. Ezra Ezra chapter 3. Verse number 1. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled as one man in Jerusalem. It's a time when Ezra was leading the people back out of Babylon, back to rebuild the temple, and had been authorized to do so. And so the people are coming, and it says here that before anything was built, before before Jerusalem was built, or the temple was built, the first thing that was done in terms of restoring a people, restoring a nation, before anything else, is that it says they came together, assembled together as one. But where was it that they assembled? Where was it that that unity happened? Where did they become one? Hallelujah. Where was unity made possible? Where did they unite together as one man? In Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, as we've been sharing and teaching, you know, we can look at Jerusalem as the bride, the new Jerusalem, that we're coming together as one man in Jerusalem, that we are being part of and forming part of the new Jerusalem. We're coming together as one man. Hallelujah. We're coming together in our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. This is us accepting and embracing ourselves as the bride, and the bride is the new Jerusalem. So we're coming together as one. And unity begins here. We start from unity. I know there's, you know, we can work towards unity, and working towards unity means that we're sent out by our churches or our denominations, and we have, you know, we have an ecumenical monthly pastors forum, and praise God for those. That's wonderful. That's fine. But there's a difference in heart and mind, because you're coming from somewhere and you're moving towards unity. Does that make sense? So you're being sent out, or you're leaving your congregation, or you're leaving whatever ministry it is, to working towards coming together as one. And that's good. We should do that. But I'm sharing things from the other side, from a different perspective, and saying, well, what if this is our starting place? What if we begin here? What if we say, well, we are one here now. We are corporately together, the bride representing Kenya and beyond. This is our place. This is our starting place. We are connected with one another here. I am a brother, and we're brothers and sisters together that we represent already here, part of the bride in Kenya and wherever. So we're starting from a place of unity. And if we start from a place of unity, hallelujah, then who knows what can happen? Because if we're starting from unity, then that means that actually, if this is our start, then it means that our finish, we're not finishing with unity. We're not like we're working towards unity, and then when we arrive at unity, well, then that's great, we can sit back and lie back. Oh, that's great. We finally arrived at unity. Hallelujah. Yes, we're now one. And so we're moving towards that. And, you know, please continue to meet together. I'm just sharing a different way of looking at things. And actually beginning with unity as we are here. And when this conference finishes, we're moving out from here in the shared experience and the shared revelation and the shared presence of God, this experience that we've all had, we've had it together. It's something that unites us together, that we are starting from a place of unity. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're starting from unity. That means that we're already ahead. We're already one. Now we're already together as one. We are already representing the bride for Kenya.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so therefore we can move on from here into our commission as the bride on the land. The bride who has the authority, the bride who has the golden scepter, the bride who is the one who has the keys to unlock the blessing that God has always intended for this land. We are a mighty people. The demons are trembling. Hallelujah. Darkness, you could feel the rumbling as we share that Satan has always feared the woman. He's always feared the woman because the woman will bring his demise. And we are that corporate woman, the bride, in whom all the glory of Jesus Christ, the woman is the glory of the man. We are the complete representation of all that he is. Everything that Jesus is who the bride is. So our challenge is becoming who we already are. Is understanding all that's been given to us so that we can pray like the bride. So that we can move and live and think like a bride. So we've got to change our thinking and asking God, Lord, help me to think like a bride. Help me to think not in terms of supply and demand or scarcity, but unlimited resources, that you can ask me for anything, even up to half of my kingdom, and I shall not withhold it from you. To think like a bride, to have a higher understanding that nothing is withheld when it's the bride who's asking. So we start from unity, and we come together as one man. In where? In Jerusalem. And it says they came together as one man in Jerusalem. And then, despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built an altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening sacrifices. Despite their fear of the people around them. That's very real for us. What will people think? If I start behaving like the bride, what problems, what challenges is that going to create for people that are in my, people around me, those around me? Am I fearful of what other people may say, think, or do? Am I become entrapped by other people, or by the fear of other people, or by the opinions of other people? May we consider no other opinion apart from his.
Amen.
We care not what men think of us. We care not what people accept us or reject us. It doesn't matter anymore whether I'm accepted or not accepted. I long only for him. And do only for him, and serve only him, no matter what, no matter how difficult that may be, no matter what it is that he's asking from me. For I know that when I'm with him and he is with me, that there is nothing. There's no power of the enemy. There's no weapon that's formed against me as his bride that can prosper. Hallelujah. So we move free of fear and free of the opinions of what other people may think. So when we start talking about the bride, or be thinking like the bride, or ministering like the bride, the enemy will not like that. We may find ourselves in opposition of some kind or another, and we may realize certain emotions begin to arise within us as we make this transition. But be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the truth. Be strong in His word. Fear not man. But stay close to the Lord. Amen. It says that they've built an altar on its foundation. There was a foundation for the altar. And even though the temple had been destroyed and just a pile of rubble, we know there was lots of rubble, just stones and just the devastation that had been caused when the city and the temple was destroyed. So there was all these stones that were there. But it says that they built an altar on its foundation. It was like the foundation was always there. It just needed to be rediscovered. Hallelujah. Where's the foundation? Where was the altar? Where are we supposed to build this altar? Where's the foundation? There's all this rubble. I can't see the foundation. I don't want to build an altar just anywhere. I want to build an altar on the true foundation. So we remove all the rubbish and the stones and all the things that clutter our perspective so that we can find the foundation. Hallelujah. That's where we build our altar. On the foundation. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the Bridegroom King. Because the Bridegroom King is the ultimate revelation of who He is. It's the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. As the bright morning star. You know, the final, we'll look at this in the next session. You know, the final revelation of who Jesus Christ was, that He was the bright morning star. He was the root and offspring of David. He was, is, and shall be evermore. He is Jesus Christ, eternal, with the Father for eternity past into eternity future. But as you've heard, the eternal plan, even before creation, was that the Son should receive a gift from the Father to be united with her. And somehow in this divine mystery that we shall be one with them, Father and Son, together. Hey, profound mystery. Not 80% into unity. No, to be one. Not just 90%, but to be completely included in the divine relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To me, that's what one means. May they be one. One in us and us in them. Together, this holy communion together. Hallelujah. And how does that happen? How do the two become one? Well, we know for this reason, a father will leave his father's house, be united to his wife, and the two shall become one. So unity, beyond unity, oneness. How does oneness happen? Oneness happens through marriage, through that bridal relationship, through that covenant relationship, and coming into that intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's how we enter into communion with God in all His wonderful nature, person of who God is. Hallelujah. So we lay an altar on the foundation. Thank you, Lord. Worship is a key part of the future in Kenya. A new song. When God is doing a new thing, there are, and you can look at the different moves and the different movements and the outpourings of the Holy Spirit and the move of God and the church over history. And there were new songs that were being written. You could look at Wesley, John and Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, wasn't it? It was 8,000 hymns or more. I mean, like thousands of hymns. You know, and we sing them today. Love divine, oh, love's excelling.
joy of heaven to earth come down, fixing in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before you, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy
our singing.
Hallelujah.
Every move of God, there is a release of new melody and new songs. I thank God. It's actually something I've just been, I'm a musician. I was a musician. I'm also a musician, a singer-songwriter. And we were at a conference in the UK just a year or so ago, and it was a conference about the bride. And so we were teaching, and we were teaching some of the things, not all things, because some of the revelation we have now, we didn't have it back then. So we had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful conference, and God just moved in a wonderful way. But then afterwards, there was two women who came up. Two women who came up, and because one was an interpreter, because the others didn't speak English or not very well. So these two women came up, and so through the interpreter, she was saying, "Oh, this woman wants you to know that she has understood what you have been teaching. She's understood what you've taught." I thought, "Oh, great. Hallelujah. Amen." But then she said, "But when you are worshiping," and we were singing, because the Lord has downloaded bridal songs. We've actually been writing, and the Lord has just been giving songs of the bride. Songs for the bride, because it's like, well, we want to sing new songs. We want to express how we're feeling. We want to express the longings of our heart and to express that in a new song. And so the Lord graciously has been giving us new songs. And so we were singing and worshiping God at this conference with these new bridal songs. And so she said, through the interpreter, "I've understood about the teaching, but when you're worshiping and singing with those bridal songs, I've experienced being the bride." Hallelujah. "I've understood about the bride, but when I'm worshiping, singing songs of being the bride, and my love, I love you." And songs expressing bridal words and of the heart. She says, "I've experienced what it is to be the bride." Now, even more amazing than that, was after the meeting, we were sharing and asking the pastor and we were just sharing this, what had happened. He said, "Oh, that's," and I don't remember the name, that's not important, but he said, "Oh, she's not saved." "She's a Muslim." Hallelujah. She was at the conference. Hallelujah. And she understood all the teaching, but she was then worshiping as a Muslim, and she was experiencing what it is to be the bride. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So part of the way forward, this is a word to us all, but especially to those that, you know, it's on your heart, and God has gifted you in song and in music and the writers here. I know there are people who are gifted in writing. Write new words. Write new poems. Write new things. Write. Be creative. Be creative if you are creating sculpture. Be creative when you are sculpting. Be creative in whatever it is that you are doing. Let there be new, brighter expressions, whether they be in worship, whether in melody and lyric, or be creative in other expressions of worship. But be creative, be bridal. Let there be an overflow. Sing. Sing. Sing, O barren woman. Sing, O barren woman. I release the song of the Lord. I release the song of the Lord over all of us that are here today in the mighty name of Jesus. We release creativity. In the name of Jesus, creativity in business. To be creative, to think and worship like the bride in our business, in our writing, in our soul, in all that we do, Lord. We give you permission to take over our lives and our thought process and our creativity. May we be inspired by the new flow of your Holy Spirit welling up within us and expressing itself. Hallelujah. We release new expression. Release new expression. You know, in Pentecost, as they were gathered together as one in the upper room and the Holy Spirit comes in Jerusalem, amen. Thank you. And the Holy Spirit comes, we know, separates out upon them and tongues of fire. But what happened after that experience? What happened after that was that they spilled out onto the streets and they began to talk in other tongues. And we think, crap, that's praise God. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it was more than that. Because there were people that had come from all the surrounding provinces and nations that are coming around. And what happened was that these people who spoke a different language, they heard the praises of God being spoken in their language. They said, how can this be? We hear these men from these Jews from Galilee or Jerusalem, wherever, we hear them, but they're speaking our language. They're speaking in a way that we can understand, and they're giving glory to God. Who is this God? No wonder their hearts were ready to receive the gospel. Because it had been prepared by the creativity of the Holy Spirit through those who received that they could express the glory of God in other people's language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So may the Holy Spirit for the bride, the anointing, the bridal anointing come upon us that we can move in new creativity, releasing new songs in a way that is speaking the language of the people outside these walls. In a way that connects with them and it arrests them. What language are they hearing at the moment? Well, whatever language it is, I would suggest it's not that very attractive to them. Because they just seem to walk on by. We need to speak a new language. We need to speak a new language. A new language is coming from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be creative and express ourselves. In new songs. Hallelujah. Amen. So to build an altar, and to worship with new songs. Amen. In Proverbs, in chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you have said and snared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler." If you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you have said, and snared by the words of your mouth, then do this to free yourself and give yourself no rest, and let no sleep or slumber come to your eyes until you have broken away. You have broken away from the words and the things that you have done to ensnare yourself. Do everything that you can to break free. We have to have freedom in order to go forward. We can have the desire, we can have the understanding and the calling of God and the direction, but often the reality is that we can find that our circumstances, we have become entrapped by our circumstances. Whether by word or by deed, we may have made commitments to people. We may have signed contracts for whatever. Contract for a car. And it's taking all of our money, but we're entrapped by that contract that we've taken. And so therefore, it's now influencing, actually I can't do this because I've got to pay for this, I've got to pay for that, I actually bought this, or I did that, or I leased a building for the church, or whatever. So in many, many, many different ways, what I'm saying is that we can find ourselves not having the freedom that we want to move forward because of pledges, alliances, covenants, words we've said, promises that we've made, relationships that we've gotten into, and those relationships are not empowering relationships, but actually relationships that are holding us back. And we all, I'm sure, can share experiences like that. But this is time to be ruthless. Tell somebody next to you, be ruthless. Like John the Baptist. Like Elijah and John the Baptist. They were uncompromising men. Like wearing camel and eating locusts and living out in a wilderness with a big beard out of here. And the Pharisees come out. Who is this guy? And he's like, "You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" It's like this prophet, this fire, uncompromising. Yet it was John the Baptist who was the one who prepared the way for the Lord. Looking for God, looking for people, the ruthless. Yeah, the ruthless generation. The ruthless generation. Be ruthless. Be loving, but be ruthless. Don't try to be nice.
Oh, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, you can slap me here. You go have a slap me on this side. Oh, that's okay. You can walk all over me. That's fine. I'll just lie down here. You want to walk on me? That's okay. Oh, yeah, come do it again. It's okay. No. The bride is a warrior bride.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She accepts no compromise. Glory to God. She's a warrior bride. Be ruthless. Do everything to free yourself. If you are being disempowered, break free. If you have found yourself somehow in an unholy alliance or by trap by words that you have said, then repent. We're going to put sugar on it. We make mistakes, even if we thought we were doing the right thing. Or sometimes it was okay, but now you're in a new season. A new season requires new alliances. It's like you can't, you've got to move away whatever happened in the past, what we're saying, draw a line. It's a new beginning today, right now, at whatever time it is. Today, start today. And of course, the reality, we go back to our homes and back to our churches and so on, but begin to realign things. Begin to move forward in arranging things and bringing things to an end so that God will bring in new things. There are people that are ahead of you who you do not yet know, but God has placed people in your future that will help you. Rahab was such a person. As they went out across to Jericho, crossed over, over the Jordan, crossed over the Jordan to go and spy out the land. And of course, we know the story of Rahab. But the point is this: that they didn't know. They didn't know that Rahab was going to be there. They didn't know that God had already put somebody who was in their future. But as you step into your future, do not worry about the people that you leave behind. For there are new relationships and new alliances and people that are already God has prepared in your future. It's about moving forward and not looking behind. Everything you need is ahead of you. Hallelujah. So don't look and say, well, actually, my pockets are empty and my stomach is empty. It's like, it doesn't matter. Take nothing with you for your journey. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have the word, then you have all that you need. God will provide, will He not?
Yes.
Will God provide?
Yes.
He will provide. Yes. Everything that you need is ahead of you. We're moving and we're walking and operating like the bride. The bride has complete confidence. She's not subject to fear. She's come out of Babylon. She's moving and walking in supernatural. Hallelujah. Do everything that you can to break free from those alliances. And the last point I want to share at this stage is establishing a canopy over the land. Establishing a canopy over the land. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And we may already be familiar, but it's something which the Lord has reminded me whilst I've been here. A couple of years ago, there was a Christian farming couple, and they had a large farm and land, and they asked me to come and to help establish what we call a canopy
a canopy of praise, canopy of prayer over the land. And I'll explain what happened and what the consequences of that, and then just to, because I believe it's something that's relevant and something that I believe the Lord will give us understanding on. But this is, let me share with you first of all the what happened back in my home county of Cornwall. So I responded to that, and there was then a group of intercessors that we came together and we sought God and we prayed and we sought God for wisdom and for the Lord to give us the word that we needed for the land. This is about the territory of their land. So we sought God and we spent a period of 3 days that we were there and just seeking the Lord and understanding the different, you know, the history of the land and the orientation, you know, the orientation, all those different things, just moving in the prophetic and allowing the Lord to speak to us so that the result of that was to receive a word, to receive scripture from the Lord that was particularly relevant for this canopy that's to be erected over the land. So words like Psalm 91, you know, dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, that no harm shall befall you. And so it was receiving a number of these scriptures, and then we wrote them down, and we had wrote them down, and we had stakes, like large tent pegs, you know, the big tent pegs, and then drilling a hole into the tent peg, and then we put the scriptures into the tent peg. We'd already gone ahead in the ground to the north, the south, the east, and the west. We dug a hole in the ground. I think this guy's weird, but this is what we did. Hallelujah, it's okay. So we dug a hole and we prayed over the land. So we prepared it, we consecrated it. And then when they came back to the home, we put the scriptures in. We had a time of worship and dedication, just a real beautiful presence of God. And then we put the scriptures into the tent peg and we sealed over the hole with then melted candle, and we put the molten wax into the hole so that it then became waterproof. So it was like sealed over. So we then had the word of God that was given with our faith, because these were the words, the rhema words that were given. So we put that word, applied our faith, and we prayed unto those words and proclaimed those words, and we put those words into the stakes. And then we then synchronized. So we had a people that went to the north, people that went to the south, people that to the east and to the west, synchronized the time. So at such and such a time, we would then put those stakes into the ground and consecrate that place, and then come together to have a worship. And then worship is like, so there's like putting those, you know, when you erect a tent, when you erect a canopy, you put all the stakes, and then you put the central pole, and then the central pole comes, and it lifts everything up. Yeah, you then, the central pole comes, and it elevates everything, it lifts everything up. So we then came together, and we worship God like this altar that was on the land. And we worship God, and there's like this canopy, this of prayer and praise was then erected over the land. Hallelujah. Amen. So this couple, they were it was their land, but they had a tenant. They had a tenant farmer, because they were older, and so it was no longer possible for them to farm the land themselves. So they had a tenant farmer, but the tenant farmer was not a Christian. The tenant farmer was he was a nice man, but he wasn't saved, wasn't a Christian. But what happened when that canopy was erected? There's a number of different things that happened. One of those was that a dead sheep, one of his sheep that was dead, hallelujah, came back to life again. Hallelujah. It was like the lamb that was slain coming back to life again. Hallelujah. And there were others, but then at the end of a year, because he had cattle and sheep and also crops as well, but actually his crops were just multiplied was just so much more abundant. He was just absolutely amazed, just absolutely amazed by it, and he gave absolute recognition that it was all connected with the prayer and everything that, you know, the prayer and the worship that had been taking place on the land. So he says, I want to come and I want to give an offering unto the Lord. So he took the first fruits, from the land, and we had this service. It was in a barn, just a humble barn, and we had some hay, so we made some seats and we invite people to come. We're going to have a celebration, a harvest celebration. We're going to worship the Lord and thank God for His provision. So we had this little sound bells, and I would have my weapon, my guitar, and we're just worshiping God. And he came, and then I made this dedication to the Lord, and he presented his offering before God on the altar. Hallelujah. And then the next morning, I woke up, and I was like, I had this picture. I could see in my spiritual eye, my mind's eye, I could see that the offering was still on the altar. The offering was still on the altar, and so I called the owners of the land and said, where is the offering? They said, I've left it on the altar. I said, you must go now. Take it off of the altar and give it away to the poor. Give it away to the poor. Amen. I believe this conference, particularly we've been here as intercessors for Kenya, but also I know other, but pastors, bishops, all of our titles, different, I know there's a number of different intercessory movements and groups, and it's about connecting as you are, connecting together so that there's this framework. Like this, like, you know, like a net. You know, if you look at a net, how it's all crossed, intertwined, and crossing over, and it, you know, all the different, you know, in, under, and over, and under, and over, and one of the, you know, the lines are going this way, and others are going that way, and it's like this network, and that network is then being spread out over Kenya, but there is work to be done in the place of intercession and in the place of the prophetic and intercessory work to be done, because we may already be aware and conscious, but it's like, if I teach this to the church, and you already feel the challenge of that, you're already feeling the challenge, but it's okay there. They'll come with you. If it's in you and it's flowing out from you, it's okay. But what I'm sharing is that there's work to be done in the prophetic and in the place of intercession to bring a shift, a spiritual climate change, to change the spiritual climate that's hovering over Kenya. Amen. So that actually the effect of what's above will affect what's beneath. And what is above will influence that which is beneath. But God has given us wisdom and understanding and the keys and the authority that we can actually partner with Him to bring a change in the spiritual climate that's over Kenya. And so I'm not going to speak into that because you're already moving in intercession and so on, but I'm just endorsing that and encouraging you in that to establish a canopy. And whatever, I'm not suggesting you need to do what I did or what we did. It was about the principle, about bringing a spiritual change of climate, and how when that was addressed, when that was then changed, how it then had a physical manifestation. You could see the results of the change in the heavens that then resulted upon the change in the earth. Amen. So, as a way forward, is to continue to move in the way they want, to network, to seek God for wisdom and those promises. Let the word of God be planted in Kenyan soil. Let the word of God be planted in this land. Amen. So we're coming together as one in a new Jerusalem with a new mandate to go forward and see Kenya healed, stored, and dressed beautifully for her husband. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.